You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Hey, yo, salute to all the delivery dudes who be riding side saddle on their bicycles, bro. Oh, yeah. I see it all the time, bro. I see you. But in fact, if you're delivering me food, take a picture of you stunting on your bike and send it to me. Let me know you came in with swag. I'll tip you a little better.
Jeez, who's delivering your food? Meek Mill? Yo,
they come in swaggy, though. Yo, it's not Meek Mill. No, they ain't. bro, you see the dudes riding on just the one side?
I have seen that. Okay, I'm glad. This is a good start.
I was just like, what a way to start the show. Well,
impressive, it's almost bro. Like
some people listening to the show now will think that we started the show mid-conversation. No, no, no.
No, that's how I started
that
the
is
show.
Alexis's opener. Literally, we hit record.
You got to come up with something to salute. Salute some. I'm saluting all the side saddlers.
Salute all the single moms out there, bro.
Hey, bro.
Oh. I know it's difficult bro. For you. I wish you weren't in the situation
we
you
need
were in.
A, oh, yeah, button.
Okay. But, yeah, so that's who I'm tossing some charitability to right now.
Wipe some of that charitability off.
Okay. Because, Alexis, he wants to focus on DoorDash delivery drivers that ride
but, they flex it on the way in, you know?
And I'm just
wouldn't you tip your guy more if you knew they came in, you know, like hard body?
We need to be tipping single moms more.
Yeah. I mean, every strip club has them. Get in there, buddy.
Okay. Just
wouldn't you tip your driver more or your ride if you knew they came in riding on the side?
Probably.
As opposed to some corny guy on both? Nah, fam. My man hitting the electric button.
Okay, look, Alexis.
Wouldn't you answer the question?
I'm just saying you're advocating for for the voiceless, who, a group of people that who have been.
It's
you
about
know,
time somebody speaks. For
ignored by society.
For those who need to be spoken about.
You wouldn't
tip a little extra if you knew they came in?
If he did where he twists the handlebars around and catches his back like in the X Games.
Or what if he stops like one of those old BMX movies like, skrrt,
that's
the
cool.
Side skrrt.
That'd be cool.
Dude,
that'd
all right, cool. Well.
My food all on one side of the bag.
Yeah, that's true.
These apps, the fees are already crazy. I don't know how much more I'm going to tip for a couple little tricks.
Nah, you know they came in flexing. Now you gotta.
We
you gotta,
spent 2.5 minutes
yeah,
talking
dog,
about
just
this.
Shout to the side saddlers, bro. I see you and I appreciate it. And I know it's because some of y'all are too short for that bike, but I don't care.
I think we should just start the show every time this way now, where Alexis just said something that has absolutely nothing to do with what we're going to talk about.
Anyway,
it's the Cooligans, buddy.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody.
I agree, Mike.
Hello, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, this is the mayor of the side saddle. Community.
Let's go. I can't be doing that. That bike will be going sideways.
My man everybody calls him the Sean King of side saddle delivery drivers.
What? No, not really.
My man was about to start a grift.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Anyway.
You know what's not a grift? America, bro. America.
Yes, we're going to talk
about Mexico done found out yet again.
It's the three-peat in the nation thing.
Okay.
Yes.
We might have to go one for the thumb. I know we've only won three.
We have a lot to go over today. Obviously, the U.S.-Mexico final in the Nations League. We're going to talk a bunch of MLS.
Christian, how long ago has it been since Mexico beat us in a meaningful game?
Weirdly enough, I was thinking about that last night. I'm like, bro, I don't even remember.
No.
I don't even remember.
The game was broadcast in black and white.
Okay. This was, Rafa Márquez was in this squad, I think, the last time.
That was his debut. That young rookie, Rafael Márquez. Didn't even have a nickname yet.
It's a bigger conversation. We'll get into it. Obviously, we'll talk. It's obviously in international break. MLS don't care, right? So the match is still going.
Nah, man, I don't care how many players you got left playing them games.
Oh, you only got six players left? It's going to be an interesting 11-6.
That's going to suck for you playing that 3-3-0. Also, I don't care if it's a torrential downpour.
We don't even got refs. You think we care?
Dog, that ref worked at Chipotle last week, dog. We don't care. Get out there and play some soccer, y'all.
You see that ref on the sides, Adam. My man killed it. Bro.
He was delivering, bro. He was delivering food to Alexis.
So, yeah. So
also, you got a whistle? You a ref, man.
We have an update on the ref situation as well in Major League Soccer. And we'll try to get to some of these international friendlies that happen. But, yeah, let's get right into it. Because last night, the game, U.S.-Mexico Nations League, the semifinal and final. Yes, the U.S. made it to the final.
Yo.
Through sheer luck, miracle, through I called them USMNT legend Corey Burke.
Hey, you know what? No, this is what I say. Yeah, yes. Corey Burke. You know what? Give that man a passport.
Because he had issues coming back. Yeah, remember a couple years ago?
Give that man a passport. Yo, you get a blue passport, my G. Here's what I'll say. If they tell you, like if your girl says, hey, could you do me a favor? Could you clean up this part of the room before my mother gets here? You know what I mean? I don't care if she's at the door. If I get it done before she walks in, that counts.
That is,
asked. You gave me an allotted amount of time, and I used most of it, not so wisely, but I used it wisely.
The job got done.
Yes. By the end, when I was inspected, the job was done. And and America decided to follow suit against Jamaica. They were like, everybody relax. We got some time on the board, baby. I'm going to use it all.
We got about 4 seconds remaining.
Hey, send the keeper. Everything's going to be all right.
Irie, as they say.
Everything's going to be all right now.
So that game happened on Thursday. We recorded Thursday before the game.
The U.S. from the last, 10 minutes of that match, that's who showed up against Mexico.
That's who showed up in extra time. We saw Gio Reyna get the two assists, Haji Wright get the two goals, but the game against Mexico, from the beginning, right from kickoff, you just saw not only did U.S. dominate possession in this game, which is like something we're not really used to, but they were just playing poised and confidently and not giving up a goal in the first 6 seconds of a game.
That's an important one.
That helps. But that was the thing I was kind of just most impressed by. I'm just like, man, especially for players, the lineup was pretty wild too, because we got Gio Reyna.
Is that just because Haji Wright,
Gio Reyna, Tyler Adams, and so there was a lot to question of, like, all right, is this the right line? Is this, even though this is to me, this is the lineup that Twitter wanted. This is like
this, for real. This is what they was asking for on X.
They saw how Reyna played. They saw how Haji played. I was even calling for it as well. But I'm just saying, it's just like, yo, you got to start these guys. This is the hot hand.
Yeah, but here's the frustrating part. So the end of the Mexico match, the end of the Jamaica match, what we saw was Gio Reyna making these insane passes, one touch, no look, off the side of his foot to a Haji Wright from pretty close distance, and I said, okay. Balogun didn't look great, okay? Or certainly wasn't able to impose himself in the match, right? Then Reyna comes in, and then Haji Wright comes in, and the two of them link up. But we never got to see Balogun with Reyna. The last time we saw it was last Nations League, and they looked great. Right. So, yo, let's run that back, right? You put Balogun up without Reyna. Let's see him with Reyna. They don't do it. They let Berhalter puts in Haji Wright. Okay. But then Reyna is all the way in the back talking to Tim Ream after the match.
Yeah.
He was what are you doing, dog?
Playing like a third center back.
Let us see him behind the forward.
Yeah,
Please. That's why Haji Wright couldn't do nothing in this game.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it was an interesting choice, and I assume it was a tactical decision based on the team that they were playing.
It was to drag Edson Álvarez out.
Yeah.
And it's exactly it's what it was for, and Brian McBride made a good point this morning that he said Gio Reyna likes to play back there. He wants to be able to be more influential, get the ball, and then drive at defenders versus being in a position to have to receive the ball and turn and sort of be surrounded.
Yeah.
But also, he's good at that, though.
Yes.
Come on.
I got to give credit in, the as well. I thought Gio Reyna played so well.
Very mature. He's 21.
The midfield in itself was just like, it's like just the touches, the moves, the turns.
Tyler Adams.
Weston McKennie
balled out. But Tyler
Weston
Adams
McKennie's
said,
crazy.
Oh, you only going to give me 30? Watch how I'm going to make these 30 count, bro.
We'll talk about the goal in a bit. Yeah. But just almost every single touch from Weston McKennie was pretty much flawless. We saw that some of the fouls that Edson Álvarez threw in on him. Yeah.
This is what I was about to say. Go ahead. Preach.
I'm just saying, every single, he was just like, all right, you want the ball? Come get it. It's like, and I don't know what exactly is happening in Italy, what he's learning exactly. Bro. But he is threading passes. He's not beating you with pace or anything. No. He's just being like, yo, I'm smarter than you.
Yeah. I'm going to do this. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You still ain't going to stop it. What I love about this, bro, big body. McKennie, bro. He don't care, bro. You try to foul him? I don't care,
dude,
bro.
That's how you know.
I didn't even feel that.
That's
dog.
How you know John McKennie on Twitter. Yeah. That is like, you see what I said about
was
my son?
It Airborne 99. I done told
if you. If you are not following Weston McKennie's dad on Twitter or formerly Twitter, whatever, John McKennie is the best. Hype man, advocate for Weston McKennie.
He's soccer's spliff star for everyone who listened to hip-hop back in the day.
If you say something negative about Weston McKennie, you best believe John McKennie. I think it might be Sergeant John McKennie or Captain John McKennie.
Yeah,
he might be in the military.
Yeah, he was. And look, that's the thing. You don't have to know what his Twitter handle is. You don't have to search for him. Just tweet out some negative about Weston McKennie. You will be introduced. The man will introduce himself to your notifications.
No DMs. No DMs.
He do it in public. He wants the world to know that he done read your tweet.
Okay. You said, what about my son?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So you
better side saddle next time you come to me.
Okay. You're gonna be on Uber Eats real soon. Uh-huh.
With your broken leg when I'm done with you. You're gonna need a side saddle.
So Weston was great. Tyler, even though he only played in the first half, Tyler Adams was great. There was a couple moments. It's those moments where two or three defenders are closing in on the ball and a US midfielder has it, and I'm like, you know, with Gio, with Tyler, especially, I'm like, bro, they haven't played in forever. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not really getting any minutes. I'm sure they're going to, like, buckle under the pressure a little bit, maybe lose the ball. Never.
Not a buckle on them, bro.
Okay. All right, yeah. It's a new idea for the new uniform.
Yeah, buckles.
How about buckles? Buttons, bro. Maybe. Let's go. Let's try something.
And Mexico still feels like, I don't know how long this is going to be, but it still feels like they're in this transition period.
Dude.
Bro, I think it's worse than that at this point. It's got to be a mentality thing. It's not just
a transition.
Well,
there's a new
period coach,
right? There's a new coach.
Jimmy Lozano.
Yeah.
Oh, your boy Coca's gone? That was Alexis's favorite manager.
Mm-hmm. The Coca's all ran out. here's what I'll say. They're forward.
Henry Martin. That's right.
Okay? Look, I'm sure he's very good. What does he play for? Club America, if I'm not mistaken?
I believe
I'm
so.
I'm sure. Right? Why are we so zoomed in?
Because it looks better on screen.
Oh,
sometimes
it?
People
right.
watch this on their phone and they have very poor.
I can't see what you're seeing.
So I've been zooming in for all our senior citizens.
Okay,
bro.
For all of you hijitos out there. I'm sure he's very good at Club America.
Mm-hmm.
But on your bench, you have one of the most prolific scorers in Europe right now in Santi Jimenez.
Right.
But what did he say about your mom, Jimmy Lozano? What has he done to your family? That stops you from starting this man.
I mean, he was also, I mean, he was a
yeah, but at that point
best,
they were
best diver in CONCACAF.
Oh, bro, he should have gotten a red card in this one. But I mean, I just don't get it. I really don't understand. He's killing it at Feyenoord. He's clearly a prolific goal scorer. He clearly knows what he's doing. If he runs counter to the way you want to play, you're playing the wrong way.
Sure.
Start Santi Jimenez. And I'm telling you, it may not have stopped three-peat.
It's not like he hasn't had opportunities. Under
Jimmy Lozano, now with Edson Alvarez kind of coming into his own. Dude, I mean, you got Chucky Lozano. You got Uriel Antuna. You got these guys who are ballers. And it seems like there's a reason they're not really clicking. And I have a feeling it's my aunt.
It's hard to say. I mean, look, they've tried different managers. They bring in different players. People are still thinking, bring back Chicharito, right? Like they want just some positivity, but nothing's working out. It's hard to figure out per se. But Mexico, Twitter.
This has to be the most embarrassed that Edri has looked in decades.
I agree. Yeah, I want to get to that. I just want to point out, I don't think I've ever said this on the show, but Orbelin Pineda, one of the greatest names in soccer history. Yeah, I just
couldn't agree more.
I just Orbelin Pineda. It's just, I don't even.
There's actually a woman in the WSL. I'm going to find it. I was like, oh, that's a name.
Orbelin. It's just a great name.
I was born to play soccer.
I'm just a huge fan of it. The conversations, I think, from either pundits, I don't know if Lozano had mentioned this, but somebody, I had seen some quote about kind of like where the Mexican Federation sort of stands right now. I know Hercules Gomez of ESPN was talking about it as well. And they just pointed out like the...
Can I say the name?
Go for it.
Aggie Beaver Jones. Chelsea Women.
Women's Super League. Yeah, she just scored the other day.
Aggie Beaver Jones, bro.
Great name.
I was like, are those two or three different people? That's one person? Aggie Beaver Jones?
Yeah.
Agnes Beaver Jones, dude?
It's a strong name. I love it.
Nah, that's name of the year. You win name of the year here on Cooligans.
Congratulations, Aggie Beaver Jones.
Aggie Beaver Jones.
Okay. Next year, we will be awarded that best name Aggie Beaver Jones award to the next winner.
The Aggie Beaver Jones award goes to someone other than Aggie Beaver Jones next year.
Okay. It was updated, obviously, from the Orbelin Pineda award, and that was the Aggie Beaver Jones award.
The Orbelin Pineda award, as reputable as it was, we had to change it up.
But the conversations about the Mexican national team were about the, and I forgot who originally said it. It might have been the coach, Lozano, but about that the U.S. is doing it right, sending players to Europe at a younger age and getting the experience necessary to play well in these big CONCACAF matches. And that's where Mexico has fallen behind. And I don't know.
It's not just that also. It feels like at least the U.S., you understand what players are going to play in what position. Mm-hmm. We can have an argument about who should be the nine. We can have an argument about, who should be on the wing. We can have an argument about who's on the 10. We can have an argument about what the pairing for center backs are best. But those are arguments about which player fits in this position. No one knows for Mexico what the perfect, formation is for them.
Right.
No one knows, outside of maybe two players, who really has like a bought-in spot. Who do you write in pen? No one knows.
Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of the players that are on the team now and that started in this game are not starters at their clubs or not getting that many minutes. I had seen Jorge Sanchez, the right back, is not starting at Porto.
No.
So there's a couple issues there.
They're just not that talented, though. I feel like that's the real issue. This is just not a talented Mexican team.
See, it's hard to say that because we've seen this. A lot of these players play really well just recently, as like a year or two years ago. I think this is a more of a top down problem because we've all heard the issues, and the complaints about the federation. The Tata experiment didn't go well. We saw Chucky Lozano just recently talking about how his experience with Tata was not positive. So there's a lack of confidence, a lack of belief in the program, and I think it's Edson Alvarez is balling at West Ham for the most part. He's
incredible.
He's playing great, but then in this game, he's getting humiliated by Weston McKennie, mm-hmm. and Sergiño Dest dribbling through all these guys and
cutting.
I think the U.S.'s confidence is just at a place that we've never really seen it. There is a there are players that, you know, the mentality has always been for the American players in years past has been like, oh, it's all suburban kids that, you know, that pay to play, and they, you know, they pay to, their parents have a lot of money, and that's why they got this far in the program and whatever. And that slightly might be the case for some players in the U.S. team. But there's just something, like, whether it's, yeah, they play in Europe and they play in, like, really, really difficult environments and where they have to fight for minutes. A player like Timo Weah, who is battling to just get any minutes at Juve.
Out of position.
Out of, playing out of position. Oh, it's hard to say. He's a wing back. And,
I know, but right wing back's probably not where he wants to be.
Exactly. I feel like for the U.S., like, this is where he should be on the right wing. But there is some level of belief. And this is where you have to give some level of credit to Greg, because if you're going to be mad at him about Jamaica, then we got to praise
give him
a little
flowers,
bit.
Flowers, yeah, because he got it right.
He got it right.
Yeah.
We still haven't even talked about the goddamn goal from Tyler Adams.
And by the way, speaking of that goal, who did he celebrate? What was the celebration? He ran into Greg Berhalter's arm.
Yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm. Bro, on some, like, also, Lifetime movie shit.
but it was the, did you see the dap?
No.
I think it was cameraman.
No,
I gotta get this. There's a GIF from Sean Francis. He had GIFed it. Where is it? Offside rules, right? What's Sean Francis's thing?
I think it's just Sean Francis.
Oh, did maybe he changed it? Oh no, the offside rules. Okay, so this dap. Do you see cameraman? he's the U.S. soccer, like, press officer.
Yeah.
And, like, comms guy.
He's the guy who says yes or no for you to be able to get an interview with the player.
Exactly. But this dap is, like, legit, bro.
Yeah.
Look at this dap.
He even does a little kick up with his leg.
We know cameraman's a homie. We've hung out with him. But we've never really seen this kind of energy.
Remember when we were at MLS All-Star a couple years ago?
Yeah.
And I said to... right before the World Cup, I said to Greg Berhalter, who we were not supposed to talk to him, like, we didn't have him scheduled,
mm-hmm.
but I saw him, so I just walked up to him. I go, hey, when you play England, you got to wear all black Air Forces, bro. Trust me, England team will get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And cameraman's like, please get away from him. That's cameraman. He's like, okay, he's like, please get away from our coach.
I'm not going to let you destroy the whole program, Alexis.
Yeah. One sentence out of you can destroy everything. Set us back years.
But I love the fire, like, in his face. It's mad intense, so it's great to see the staff on
and
board.
And look who it is. It's Adams, and who's right behind him? Reyna. Let's go.
Dude, and you know, even when Gio Reyna got subbed off, you saw some people were criticizing the hug, that it wasn't as, you know,
guys,
as thoughtful or genuine.
There was a hug.
Let's give
props to the guys. We you know what? If this was it, like, in therapy, they go, let's just go over one positive.
Yeah. People analyze it like they're watching like Love is Blind or like a reality show. Like, oh, he looked away for a second. He doesn't love her.
Yeah, what is this? Like on what's the Real Housewives at the end of the season when they all sit in that room with Andy Cohen? Like that. They're rewatching the game tape.
You know, USMNT behind the crest or whatever, like, or whatever. But this goal from Tyler Adams, it's just such a great moment. Just the confidence just to even take the shot. And then it's also, everybody was kind of, you know, Witty was on the call.
Yeah.
You know, formerly of Metalock, but the home of Chris Whittingham. And he was also pointing out, I was like, Tyler Adams has never struck a ball better in his life.
No.
He may never strike a ball better than that.
There, it never will happen. Not in football, not in golf. Nothing.
I also love the, I don't know who was the player that threw in the challenge that he kind of...
He slid past it?
He slid, but it went through his legs to end up reaching the goal. And it's just, it adds to the beauty of it, because the ball didn't have a ton of, like, movement.
There was no movement. No, it had movement.
Had a little bit of,
there was
no
spin.
No spin.
But it knuckled.
It knuckled a little bit.
It knuckled enough for... You know, Memo Ochoa to shuffle his feet again.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason it went in, because he did get a hand close to it.
Yeah.
But it was that extra shuffle, which I argue that he didn't get a good look at it. He saw it leave the foot,
right,
which Brian McBride and Nigel Rearcoco were like, that's all that matters. I'm like, yeah, but there was one player standing in the way of its trajectory and another player who let it, you know, scissored with the ball, if you will. You know? So I'm like, you're seeing that. Your vision is askew now.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing too much movement. You saw it late. So that extra shuffle, that little bit of movement, that slight dip down, just caused that extra hezzy that made him kind of, but he dove in the right direction. I got to give Memo Ochoa credit. He made some big saves.
Well,
that should have been 4-0.
Yeah.
Should have been 4-0.
It could have been much worse. Even in the first.
It could have been 4-2 if Henry Martin understood that the ball goes in the goal.
I was just happy for him. And then I loved the post game. If anybody didn't watch the post game comments, I mean, Tyler Adams was. He had a baby, so congrats to him. Him and his fiance.
You got that BDE, big dad energy.
Big dad energy. Yeah. And something happens on the pitch. He's just like, okay, I got a mouth to feed.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta deliver.
I'm a man now. Right.
And there was a confidence in just the way he was speaking. Obviously, he's probably been a USMNT captain a whole bunch. And there was something we were talking about it off air before, but when who was it that made the
Jesse
comment?
Marsh goes, I bet it looks like Mexico didn't know you have that in your locker, and he just like with no reservation whatsoever, he goes, they do now.
I was like
damn
Tyler, all right. It's like that
Wappinger's falls, dude.
I'm just like, oh,
shit. I'm sorry. I was unfamiliar with your game.
My man blew my wig back. I was like,
damn. I know, bro.
I remember you was a little kid from Red Bull.
My eyebrows were up.
It was an incredible goal, an incredible game. And look, another trophy for the U.S.
Three
in a row in Nations League. Whereas now Nations League is starting to feel a little bit like, all right,
we take the S out of it. It's Nation League, bro. It's ours. It's our ting, bro.
We gotta get a new trophy now.
Damn, maybe we should invite someone from Comnibol.
We're getting bored of this trophy. Yeah.
So going from international club soccer, we had some MLS action this weekend. Lots of big games, lots of big news. What do you guys want to talk about most from the weekend in MLS?
Yeah, we'll get to our
The NYCFC game.
I mean, it was one of their better games, better performances, but a 1-0 loss.
It was a loss.
Yeah. Another 1-0 loss. So not great.
I just said I didn't want to talk about it.
We're not talking about it.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're not talking about it. This wasn't too much in that game. It wasn't too exciting. Just, obviously frustrating for NYCFC fans. But the kit looks great. And we look great in it.
We absolutely do. Also, I am putting myself under a lot of pressure to say New York City FC instead of NYCFC.
It's challenging. We're figuring it out. Okay. Let's get to a couple other notable and kind of wild games. Inter Miami came to Rebel Arena and they played.
Did they?
They did. All the big stars were there except for one.
Wow.
But it was very, very rainy and cold.
It felt like the level of, you know, you ever watch a game and you only realize it's raining when they cut to that other angle?
Yes. Right.
Okay, this was not that.
No.
You could tell it was raining. Regardless of what the camera was.
Yeah. This is the Premier League is great at this. You're watching a game and you're like, oh, okay, the weather's pretty decent out there. You go to the sideline guy on the camera and it's like, oh my God, this is a torrential downpour.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't know what
they fool me every time.
The camera's just like, don't capture rain.
No, man, the ball's moving fast today. And then they cut to like a zoom in on the player. His hair's like in four large clumps on his forehead. I'm like, damn, he's sweating. Oh, I see what's happening.
Because you watch Premier League and you think like, you know, when people say, oh, it rains a lot in England. And you're like, I watch every week. It doesn't rain that much.
It never rains.
And barely ever. And then, you go to that other camera and you're like, okay, I get it.
Camera from the sideline or it hits either the light the right way and you see it pouring through. It rains all the time. Rebel Arena was in Stoke.
Yeah, so this was, I don't know if you saw the opening whistle and there was a moment where the referee is giving the ball to Luis Suarez, who's about to kick off, and you look at him, you see his face, he's like, bro, I didn't even want to come into work today. You could tell.
This is my day off. I ain't supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be with Leo.
It's one of those games where you're like, his face said, yo, we're about to lose 4-0, bro.
Yeah.
Just as right before the whistle even blew.
His face said, bro, I miss Brazil right now.
And yeah, Inter Miami, you know, without Messi, you could understand that they're not going to be as dominant. But
yeah, but look, click on it. Let's just talk about their back line, bro. I mean, who? You know what I'm saying?
Don't do that. No. Don't do that. They've had an okay game.
Come on, the scores, bro. Dos Santos is a backup keeper.
Yeah, he did not look great.
He did not look good. He got a 5.0. You go with a five-man back line, essentially. Mm-hmm. But three of them, I mean, Robert Taylor is not exactly a defender, but you got 5.3, 5.5, and 5.8. That's not good.
This is not good. This is, and look,
and it wasn't that the score's low because they got cooked. It's because of the setup that they got cooked. Because look, slide over to the Red Bull side.
Okay.
Well, all the stats came from two players. Scroll down a little bit.
Van Zier, Dante Van Zier, and Lewis Morgan. Who played two up top, and it was basically like barely anybody was marking these guys.
No, you have three on two, and they were like, we don't know who to go.
The Rebels had like easily one of the best games they ever had. Also, I'm sure they did not forget about the game the last time they played, where Messi came and they won right
last
at the
second.
Last few seconds and stuff like that. You know, we were kind of teasing John Tolkien, where he was like, he just didn't even see that the pass was an option. He was watching the game. He's like, I got this. I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know that pass.
It's crazy that that's Messi. Hey, why is the ball going past?
I didn't know that pass was available.
Yeah.
This was a big, you know, they answered back. And I'm sure that was on their mind for sure. But these games, when there's an international break and, you know, who knows what these lineups are going to look like, this was they were so dominant. They just like, they looked for Dante Van Zier, 4 assists, which I think is the club record, which is already with the, you know, Tasha Kljestan played for the Red Bulls and for Dante Van Zier after the, you know, very controversial issues he had last year.
Yes.
So it is kind of wild. But I think the rain played a huge part. Obviously, you know, it's just the not only the rain, but then the players that did step in. Just didn't they look? No. And Tata Martino was pretty straightforward. He said that we didn't. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said like we just didn't have any competitive spirit. We did not want to win this game, and you sort of notice it in certain moments, especially in defending. There was a moment, I forgot, it might have been like the third goal or something like that, where Julian Gressel is defending. And Julian Gressel's the homie, but it's pouring rain. It's mad cold. And you're already losing two or three goals. You're already two, three goals down. And the defending.
I can't blame you for, you know, taking the rest of the game off.
There was just a moment where, like, it wasn't even like he got cooked.
No.
It was just like, oh, he doesn't really want to be here.
Yeah. Oh, you're trying? All right, well, go ahead and enjoy.
Couldn't be me, but yeah, all right. Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't think there's one goal going to matter in the grand scheme of things. So, but I look, all right, so tell me which statement is more true from this match, okay? Which statement is more true? Inter Miami are this bad or New York Rebels are this good? Which is a truer statement?
I would say Red Bulls are this good because Rebels
are this good because I don't think
you think so.
We've already seen Inter Miami play really well.
Yeah, look at the lineup. Obviously, Robert Taylor on playing a wing back and Julian Gressel in the midfield, or like they just wasn't a clear understanding of like I think defensive responsibilities were because there was a couple moments.
Luis Suarez looked like he was on an island out there, bro.
Yeah,
he would get the ball. He'd have three defenders. He's like, bro, I got no knees. Okay.
Well, I have a feeling.
Just help me.
I was gonna say, I have a feeling that's what Luis Suarez is gonna look like. There's gonna be some games where he's feeling it and he's feeling physically up for it, and some games where his knees just can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, this is just it's not an ideal lineup. It's also a bummer because like the keeper looked awful. I don't what's his first name? Carlos Dos Santos. He not only did he like, yeah, you're going to give up a couple goals here and there, but he was late diving to so many balls that it was just like.
I mean, look, I'm not a goalkeeping expert, but I'm like, I don't think that's the position.
He just did not look great. And again, I'm going to attribute it to the weather and it just not being.
It seemed like everything lined up for Miami to have a bad game. But I will say, I think, I don't think the Rebels are this good. I mean, again, they didn't even have Emil Forsberg in there, which is crazy.
Yeah, Rebels also missing quite a few players. So,
but I do think Inter Miami are this bad in the sense that Messi's not there, and they're not deep at all, and they are very top heavy. And when you take out one, two really good players, this is the team. This is where you're looking at. Their XG was 0.26.
Yeah, for a
not
team.
3.26, 0.26.
Yeah, they couldn't figure anything out this game.
And Rebels scored four with a 1.23 XG. That's crazy.
They couldn't figure anything out this game. Just a bad game. You gotta take some L's sometimes.
If they would have had played no with no keeper and an extra defender, I think the score would have been better. I mean that. I honestly mean that.
But then this is the thing. I see Drake Callender celebrating with the Nations League medal. And it's like, bro, man, just stay with your team, bro. They need you more than the U.S. needs you right now.
Get your ass back to Miami.
I feel bad. I'm like, I'm happy. Yeah. Gets an opportunity, goes into camp, trains, develops a relationship. Cool.
Trust with the manager.
But when you see the backup at Miami, I'm like, bro, Drake. Nah. Drake.
It's like, bro, I know
Drake.
You.
Drake. Yeah. Drake.
I know you wanted to have a weekend with your boys, but your house falling apart. Get back, bro.
You're not going to have a home to go back to, bro. Yeah. So a wild game there. We also have to talk about Sporting Kansas City.
Who looked actually pretty good for all but 8 minutes. And in them 8 minutes, LA Galaxy went from being 2-0 down to 3-2 up.
Yeah, Sporting Kansas City lose at Children's Mercy Park.
Bro, scroll down to the stats. It's crazy, dog. Look at this. They basically controlled everything except accurate passes.
Yeah, this is we're looking at 52% for LA Galaxy to 48%. The first half for Sporting Kansas City was remarkable. Yeah. It was 26 shots.
26 shots
in the game. 9 on target.
Yo, LA Galaxy only had 12 shots total.
Yeah.
7 of them were on target, and 3 of them went in pretty rapid succession.
So it's feeling a little bit like the move for John McCarthy to go from LAFC to LA Galaxy. It seems to be
smart move.
Working out so far. He had to obviously make a bunch of saves. But the first half, I feel like most of the goals were like scrambly, messy, sort of, you know, just in the box, ball bouncing around. It lands to the team with the offensive opportunity, and they ended up going in. But I thought the passes from Ricky Puig to Jovalić were just like, Jovalić, the passes are great, and you know Ricky Puig is going to deliver. He's gonna
You know, for the beginning of last season, I wouldn't have said that.
Right. which you didn't. And that's why a lot of Barcelona fans were quite upset with you.
Yeah.
but Ricky Puig, we know he has the quality, and he's going to get the ball to his teammates, and it's on the other teammates.
Now he has a teammate, and more than one, in Jovalić and probably Pantsil, who are like, if you give me the ball, I'm going to try to score.
Exactly.
But last season, it was like, why would you do this? Yeah. Why would you give me the ball?
But Jovalić,
there's 9 other guys out there.
I loved that Jovalić took those. There was one goal that was called back due to it being offside, but it was essentially the same play. And Ricky Puig kind of threads the ball between the fullback and the left center back. And Jovalić, this is where he is developed. And maybe it's building chemistry. Maybe it's just kind of now he knows when to expect the ball.
Or maybe now the coach knows when he should, where he should play and when
the touches from Jovalić were perfect. His first touch put the ball in a place where the center back had to turn around. And so he was already a step behind. And then, so it doesn't even look like Jovalić is doing that much, but he's just putting the ball just out of the distance of the defender that they can't dive for the ball because otherwise they won't be able to track back and defend and then they also can't adjust themselves perfectly to put a body on Jovalić to prevent him from controlling the ball, and he did that 2 times, and it was just it's just one of those things of like, okay, this is the Galaxy should be a fun team to watch and should have some a level of quality, and we haven't really seen it for the last few years.
I remember we've been pretty harsh on them because they've somewhat lost control of being the dominant force in the city and so on and so forth. And are they the standout club you know, this was a time where they were the Real Madrid of this league, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where they were the one that everybody wanted to go play for, and they were the team that would win, and they were the team that felt like they would spend the most money and had the most cachet. And that's kind of gone away to some degree. But the way they've started out this season, you'd think, no, they're kind of back.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's early. It's really early. So I hate to say any of these things until at least midway through the season.
I think
But in particular, Ricky Pouge starting out this committed looking to the LA Galaxy is a large contrast to from what we saw last year.
I agree. I also got to give props to Maya Yoshida, the center back that came over, the Japanese center back. He came over from, I believe, Serie A or Bundesliga?
It was either Serie A or Turkey. I can't remember.
Let me see. We'll look at his player profile.
He came from Schalke.
He came from Bundesliga. Yeah, yeah. So, but he played in Sampdoria. So he speaks a few languages. He speaks English. I believe he speaks German pretty well and Italian. And I saw an interview with him. A post-game interview a couple games ago when they were talking about what language the backline communicates in. And he's like, I speak to the right side in Japanese or something. Yeah. Like, and then I speak to somebody else in Spanish or Italian or whatever. And it's just like, you look one way, you speak in one language, you look the other way, you speak in another.
Like, yo, do me a favor. Oh, yeah, I'm in favor.
I love that. The Galaxy, especially with the introductions of Paintsill and is it Gabriel Peck? What's his first name?
Yeah,
Gabriel Peck. Just making a huge difference already. So they've been really fun to watch so far. But I feel bad for Kevincho, the homie, having to see Sporting Kansas City give up a 2-goal lead, and then,
this year's already easier than last year.
End up losing. we'll end with our woes and uh-ohs. As far as you have one already,
yeah, of course.
So you could start. What's your woe in Major League Soccer?
Oh, is it just for MLS?
Yeah.
We'll do MLS. Mm.
Yeah, that's how we've been doing.
Yeah, I know. I was reading about this wax poetic on Tyler Adams' goal again. I'll say for my. I have my uh-oh. Let me think about my woe. You know, my woe continues to be Toronto FC. Okay. I'll say that. From having a manager that's never coached in the club game before, and I know Insigne is looking like he might be out for a little bit. Hopefully not. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's fine. You know what? There's a vibe there. It was so sad last year. It felt like nobody wanted to be there. We were like, can we airlift Sean Johnson out of there? Is everything all right? To now, the vibe seems to be like, I don't know if it's us against the world, but it seems to be much more positive and much more unified than it was before. I'd love to give my woe to Inter Miami, but I mean to Montreal, but now I'm going to give it to Toronto. So a Canadian team got it this week.
Okay, so Toronto, we haven't seen any updates on Insigne, no. So I don't know how his injury is going. He didn't look very happy after leaving the game. He was stumbling a little bit. Kind of, it was difficult for him to walk. So hopefully it's not that serious, but a bummer nonetheless, because he's been having a great start to the season. I'll do my uh-oh.
Oh, you babied out of it. I found a woe.
I know, I have a woe too, but I want to do my uh-oh first. Okay. In MLS. My uh-oh has to be for Nashville SC. Nashville have had a terrible start to the season. What's their record right now?
Nashville's not good. They're 5-5 played, 1 win, 3 draws, 1 loss.
Yeah, they just not a great start to this season. They lose 5-0 to LAFC. They do. Who picked up the red card? Willis. Yes, Joe Willis. He had he handled the ball outside the box. He was trying to make a save, and so he got a red. But Nashville, you know, there's been a lot of questions of like where is Hany Mukhtar. What's the stats for Hany Mukhtar this season? Has he even scored a goal?
Yeah, I'll tell you his status alone.
I'm looking at his
no goals or
no,
assists.
No goals this season. This is crazy. This is the designated player. One MVP, one Golden Boot.
Bro, you can't do it alone, man.
For him to have this kind of start is crazy to me. And then also, I don't know if you saw Major League Journeyman, the episode, shout out to Major League Journeyman, Dax McCarty's pod with Dan Gargan, and where am I forgetting his
Alan
name?
Gordo,
there we go. But Dax was talking about how he ended up leaving Nashville, and it was, Dax captained the team, obviously an important player for Nashville, provided a lot of leadership. And it was a strange, like, breakup in a weird way, where they, like, told him they were going to resign him, but they didn't really, like, follow through. And they were just, like, I think he was waiting. He's like, okay, well, I'm sure the offer's coming. And it just never came. And then by the end of the year, they were like, oh, no, we're not going to resign. And it was, like, unexpected. It was, like, a weird – he said that, like, he didn't really follow up as much as he should have. And they didn't really kind of show their hand as well, of like, about being clear that they wanted to bring him back. Mm-hmm. So it's just, like, a very strange way to, like, end your career at a club where they just, like, not ghosted, but you know what I mean? Like, they they weren't like, no, we're not in your plan. You're not in our plans. Like,
right.
Which is like, usually
go find another place.
The minimum sort of level of respect you give, especially a veteran player. But I think that, I don't know, that attitude, I feel like maybe might be affecting Nashville in a negative way. Cause this feels like the
project hasn't worked out and they're not sure if they should fully rebuild or continue to try.
They seem to only play well when they play Miami.
Yeah.
Every other team, when is Messi there?
Go play Miami, dude.
When is Messi there, they show up. But, a really, really bad season to begin.
All right, quick woes and uh-ohs.
What's
your woe?
My woe is going to go to it's going to go to San Jose, because the win against Seattle, I thought Jeremy Obobese getting the game winning goal towards the end of the game, it's at least we're seeing some positivity, because it looks like every year, I feel like the last like 5 years it's been like, oh, San Jose is gonna have, it's gonna be another San Jose earthquake season. Right. And but there seems to be a little bit more confidence, especially
who's Lucci? Lucci's the coach.
Coach, and seeing the way Obobese just scored that goal. I forgot who got the assist on that one, but it was just great to see just a little bit of swag for the team, and they obviously that it was their first, I believe the first win this season. But it was at home against what should be a good Seattle team. But I thought San Jose played really, really well, so I got to give them their flowers today.
Okay, well, my uh-oh is Seattle.
Okay.
2 points.
2 points.
Two Seattle points on the season. You're not the worst team. That's New England Revolution at the moment, but I think we all trust Caleb Porter to be able to change that around.
Do we?
I think we should. He's won everywhere he's gone. But, nah, Seattle, you've got too much talent to be playing this way. You've got a coach that I have a lot of trust in Schmetzer, someone who's figured it out before and seems to be able to. Again, it's early, really early to do a whoa and a uh-oh, but for my uh-oh, way more than New England, way more than NYC or New York City FC, right now is Seattle, because I think we all penned Seattle to be a much better team, especially a playoff team. To have only 2 points so far this season,
yeah,
it's not like you, bro.
Yeah, who's the DP that they brought in? Was he a Brazilian guy?
No, the guy in the middle. What's his name? Got the three names. Something Reyes, maybe?
No, he's probably not playing in this game, because I'm sure he was on international duty.
Well, click on Seattle Sounders and go to roster.
Sure. All right, we'll just...
That's how the internet works.
Browse the internet right here, bro.
Scroll all the way down, and you'll see him.
Yeah, I can't see who's the DP.
Go all the way down.
Midfielder, if he's a forward? Pedro de la Vega.
De la Vega.
So I'm sure he didn't play in this game. So no. They're missing some players, but still no excuse. I don't know what's going on with Sounders. Sounders fans, please tweet at us. Let us know what do you see as the problem? Because I can't.
You fix the team.
I'm watching games here and there. It's also tougher now that all the games are on the same night. So like if we watch one game, we miss.
You watch that one game.
You miss 12 others.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if we go to a game, I don't even know what the hell happens in any other game.
My idea. If you're Schmetzer, you got to come into training side saddling.
that's the move for Schmetz. But yeah, this is without a doubt, has to be a huge concern for the Sounders.
So we're going off the pitch to poke a little fun at one of Alexis's co-workers. One of former guest of the Cooligans, Charlie Davies, had a viral moment.
He didn't look like this when he was here.
Over the weekend, yeah. It's Carlos Davies, I think.
Yeah. Carlito. Carlito.
What do you guys think of it? You guys got to roast him.
Yeah, so look, shout out to the homie Aaron West.
Who, by the way, also can't beat The Dominican allegation, might I add.
So this was Aaron's tweet, which you know, when Aaron and I are next to each other, I'm sure we look like Dominican cousins.
Bro,
it's
let me
good.
Tell you what. There's a new green room area at the CBS, so there's a bunch of little rooms you can hang out in. And if I see Aaron, I'd be like, "Oh yeah, Chico," be like, "Get okay, man." And I'm like, "I told you." And he's like, "Ah, damn, you got me." He does the same thing.
So Aaron tweeted, I said, quote, "Nah, with that tan, my boy Charlie Davies definitely looks like he's batting around 309 for Los Dodgers right now. he has never beaten the Dominican allegations." And it's because, well, Charlie was on the Nations League coverage. Yes. He was on the panel. And my man, look, he had a little bit of a tan.
He had almost like a sunburn. Like he had a flushed look.
Yeah, it was enough to where you're just like when Alex Rodriguez a couple weeks ago, he said that he fell asleep in the sun.
Reverse Sammy Sosa.
reverse Sammy Sosa. We all have heard about it. He's making up for the color that Sammy Sosa lost. You know right. what I mean? Like he took that color and he's like, put it on me.
Also, I don't know why. I can count. I don't know why. But it looks like, in this shot, Alex Rodriguez has too many fingers on one hand. I don't know why.
No, that's a full...
It is a full hand, but don't it look like there's just one extra for some reason?
Is this the Kate Middleton conspiracy? Have you been seeing this?
Who Photoshopped?
Not even just a Photoshop, because after the video, and we're getting into a whole word, we're getting sidetracked.
She released a statement.
She did. No,
we hope she's okay.
But this is the thing. She did release a statement, and I hope she's obviously she's okay. She announced a cancer diagnosis. But even the video releasing the statement, they are saying that is AI as well.
Yeah.
Because there's a moment, and I don't want to.
You're way too deep in this.
Hold on.
You get into these TikTok conspiracies, bro, and this is why you cannot ban this app, bro. I need it.
Your algorithm got you itching, bro.
Because there's a moment, just like we're seeing the image right now of A-Rod's hand. I'll show the full photo in a second, but you see his hand. There's a moment where Kate Middleton is wearing a ring. She has her hand just like that, across her, on top of her legs, on her thighs. And you see her hand. She has a ring on her hand. And there's a moment where her hand like moves slightly and the ring disappears. And then a few frames later, the ring comes back. And then I'm like, hey, I don't want to be in this space, but like I saw it and it looked a little weird.
I just want to take this time to say the thoughts on this show are just of Christians alone. I respect the royal family. You ain't got to take me out. You ain't got to take me out.
Alexis is in London a little too much.
Yeah, bro. I ain't going and bugging her in Palace. I'm going to tell you that.
Look, I hope it's not true. I hope she's okay. I don't enjoy these conspiracies, but the internet is crazy.
Internet got also a lot of time on their hands.
Okay.
Or, like, A-Rod, you got a lot of fingers on their hands. Okay. It just looks weird, doesn't it?
When are these fingers coming, A-Rod? Was it steroids, A-Rod?
Damn, bro.
Anyway.
Juicing them fingers, bro.
So that was the conversation. Is Charlie Davies Dominican? And
let's see him.
I mean, but when you look at the image, bro... I don't know.
Bro.
We see, I'm looking at a tanned A-Rod.
It does look like he's saying like, oh yeah, yes, he marks. Oh yeah, tell me por qué Girena so far back, eh?
Because this is, you know, if you told me this was Pedro Martinez on a panel, I'd be like, 100%. Hey, Pedro, felicidades.
Oh my God, yo. Look at A-Rod and Pedro having a conversation.
Okay, two Dominican legends.
Uh-huh.
Chopping it up.
If Charlie right now is going like, dame dos, mofongo.
Because you know even the Cooligans is a representation of the Caribbean Latinos in the soccer space.
Yeah, in total, in its totality.
Right, because there's not many of us.
There's not enough Cubans, there's not enough Puerto Ricans, there's not enough Dominicans for us to just rep one side. we gotta take the whole of the Latin Caribbean.
We're all part of the same lobby, okay? We're all pushing and advocating.
We've joined our forces together.
But then when I see Charlie Davies...
I said, welcome to the team.
I say, thank you for representing me
and my people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He also looks like a salsero from Cuba. You know, this looks like one of my grandmother's cousins.
So,
A-Rod on the other hand. A-Rod, on the other hand, how long did you sleep on that beach, my guy?
A-Rod looking like Snooki, bro.
A-Rod do got that Sicilian guy on vacation tan.
Yeah.
The Sicilians will tell you they ain't black, right. But I don't know. In the summer,
A-Rod,
bro.
A-Rod should be chubby and like, shirtless, yeah. And with chest hair out.
Right? Talking about, like, you believe the prices of gelato?
Okay.
How much further can you go?
If A-Rod was in like a Speedo walking around, I'd be like, look, this is like a proud Sicilian.
Watering his sidewalk.
Proud Sicilian man. Yeah, yeah. All right.
Look at this guy, huh?
So
this guy might be connected.
So shout out to Charlie Davies and representing
Carlito Davies
out here representing the Caribbean Latino.
Right.
And that's he did go on vacation to the Dominican Republic.
That's where he was before.
So the tan is off. Authentic, mm-hmm. Bro.
I said, wow, first Junior Firpo, now Charlie.
Okay.
Gonna switch your allegiance back, bro.
Yo, I want you doing the stanky leg in Santiago, bro.
And you might be able to get on that team at this age right now. No disrespect to DR.
Okay, give him a passport.
Yo.
I think you can get like a Dominican passport by like, I think buying real estate or something like that. You don't have to like... Hey, just get, yeah, you got mine? You Dominican now.
That's how right. Much is real estate in DR? Let's be honest.
I got 12 houses out there, bro.
Bro.
Okay?
That's off one scratch off.
That's why I say you got to stop. Like, all those Republicans are always like, stop buying Starbucks.
Yeah.
And it's like, stop buying Starbucks and you can get 12 houses in
DR.
Yeah.
Yo, you make yourself coffee for like 3 weeks? You got a 3-bedroom in DR.
So go for it, bro. All right. So shout out. Charlie Davies, shout out CBS. I love that they
shout out the whole team.
They welcome Dominicanos on there.
He'll be back on Thursday.
Okay, I'm back on Morning Footy. Okay, yeah. He has a nice little
he's
break.
He's got a heavy vacation package. I said this, he got upset, but I was like, if you print both of our contracts out, I bet yours weighs like 3 times more than mine.
It does a couple more. It's printed on some heavy cardstock.
Yeah. It says in his contract, he don't touch cheap paper, bro.
So shout out. Everybody over there at CBS. Again, congrats to the U.S. Men's National Team on winning another Nations League trophy. All right, let's wrap up there. Thank you, everybody.
Real quick, before we get out, we got a special gift from one of our friends.
Oh, my God. Well, how did I forget this? Yeah, I mean, you see the scarf up on the wall. Campo Basso. We had Mark Consuelos on.
That's right.
Last week. Go check that episode out if you have not, because it's great. And watch it, preferably, if you want. You gotta look at them. Man, also listening is great. Why listen to the podcast too?
Bro. I almost said, don't release this audio. We want people to see this man's face.
Okay, find the episode is on OnlyFans, but you can watch it.
Our
there.
Reaction is as well. We had,
but no,
it.
We got a kit from Campo Basso as well, and you had gotten this.
Yeah, shouts to their other owner, who also owns Brooklyn FC, by the way.
Right,
Matt Rizzetta, met him real quick. And he wanted to make sure, he's like, hey, I love the interview you guys did with Mark, who I had immediately called him afterwards and said, like, yo, I just did this great podcast. He's like, oh, my God, I'm meeting that guy. I'm meeting one of the guys right now. He lives not far from the studio. But, yeah, check this out, dude. This is really cool. It's an autographed kit from the whole team.
Yeah, dude.
Campo Basso still doing it. I love the badge for the league, the Chetty Day. Look at the badge on the sleeve.
I'm telling you to stop showing
the audience.
Yeah.
You look at it. It's absolutely cool. Like, to me, like, this is there's like a culture with this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
Isn't like major top flight. This is like
Tarcinale, I'm assuming, if I'm saying that correctly. Tarcinale. But this is so cool. So shout out to Campo Basso, Marco Consuelos, everybody over there sending us a kit autograph by the entire team. So this is
it's a beautiful thing.
Hoping, maybe Mark Consuelos could come back celebrating.
They'll be in Serie A in, 3 years if the plane goes to?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah. I mean, it's Serie C up next.
Yeah.
Which Serie C.
Serie Blu.
So it just sounds dope. But no, go check out that episode with Mark Consuelos if you have not yet, because that was a really fun one. All right, everybody. We're back on Thursday. Friday. Y'all are the best. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Subscribe here on YouTube. Shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network as well. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time in, you know, making fun of Charlie's Tan with us.
And share this episode with your friends who you think would enjoy it. And when you do, pull up side saddling, bro.
This is an important. Yeah, this is going to be the title of the episode.
Yeah, side come in and flex a little. You know what I mean?
Okay. We need to do a photo with you know the motorcycles with the little sidecar.
Yeah.
And wearing the goggles and the helmet. And the long scarf.
You ain't put me in that sidecar.
Oh, you too good now?
Yeah. I want to get behind you, Christian. Put my arms around you.
You praise in the side saddle. Nah, won't be in
it. Not sidecarring, side saddling. Both legs on one side.
All right. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.